What God calls you is beyond being a diplomat or an ambassador or a statesman. You can't do that. It's beyond. It's bringing God into that situation with peace.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, November 26, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Blessed Are the Peacemakers. And our text comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, this morning we're going back to the Beatitudes. We have a couple more to go. And it's a thrill to go through the Sermon on the Mount without feeling a sense of guilt, but with a sense of joy that the Lord can enable you to live a life that is different from the rest of the world. Not because the rest of the world is the rest of the world, but because there is a different way in which we can live our life in this world. And our text this morning is a very special text. I love it. I think I lived it in more ways than one. And it's chapter 5, verse 9, and it's a beautiful verse. And it reads in a very clear way, a very distinct way, verse 9. We have it up on the screen. Blessed are the what?
Peacemakers.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Peacemakers make the list in the Beatitudes because this people, peacemakers, outside of the kingdom of God, they are called everything except a child of God. I'll explain myself. The reason is that peacemakers are always in the middle of things. If you don't think that's true, talk to a police officer. You call the police officer so he can smooth out the domestic dispute. There is no more dangerous situation than trying to be a peacemaker, where you got two warring factors here and they're fighting. And the funny thing is that neither side trusts you. The fact of the matter is they know you're looking at both sides and you are upset because they're not on your side. Peacemakers have a difficult job to do. And so when you go to God's word, the whole concept of peacemaking, it's really the whole construct of bringing good people who are in the wrong and show them that this is what God has done in the world today. Because this is a resemblance of what God has done. Because God, believe it or not, in Luke 6:35, God himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. It reigns over both, doesn't it? The sun comes upon both, doesn't it? And so when you get involved in the process of peacemaking, you will find yourself in the role that God has. And this is why you will be called children of God. A peacemaker deals with the ungrateful and the wicked. How about that one? And if you try to make peace between people, you know how tough that is. How many have tried to be peacemakers between a situation? And there's a saying, if you fight with a skunk, you come out smelling like a skunk, though you're not a skunk. And peacemaking is one of those issues that you and I need to look at and look at ourselves and see how much of my time must I give in becoming peacemakers. Well, there are four things that make you, or it's a process of becoming a peacemaker, or what does it mean to be a peacemaker? And the Lord says, look, there's some of you who are called meddlers because you meddle. There's some of you that get involved between two fighting people and family squabs and difficulties in marriages, and children, the job, and you're trying to bring peace and they beat you up. He says, you know what? You're blessed because you're doing what I have done, the Lord says, in mankind, trying to reconcile both. Four things that characterize the peacemaker. First of all, you and I, to be peacemakers, we have already made peace with God ourselves. That's the big one. That is the biggest one. Because we're not talking about a diplomat. We're not talking about sending you to the United Nations. We're not talking about sending you as an ambassador to some post out there that's crazy. We're saying that before you can be a peacemaker, you must have made peace with God. The gospel is all about peace. Peace. Before you came to Christ, whether you know it or not, you are at war with God. There was a fighting going on. As a matter of fact, in Romans 5:10, it says, while we were sinners, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. Someone stepped in between God and us, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who took our punishment and the wrath for our disobedience, for our sin. And when you and I came to Christ, the righteousness of Christ was imputed, was given to you, was counted on your own, it was put on the side of the ledger, so to speak, so that the battle you had with God and that God had with you ended and peace began with God. Isn't that wonderful? It's amazing to have peace with God, where no longer God is at war with you, which you will lose, and that you're not at war with God because it's senseless. All of a sudden, because there is this wonderful activity in your life, because he has made peace with God, you can enjoy what is known the peace of God. So you have the peace with God, and then you have the peace of God that comes upon you, Philippians 4:7. And I'm telling you, this is so wonderful because then your life becomes a life of peace establishment. Wherever you go, you carry God's peace in your heart. Have you noticed your behavior when there's a conflict, you want to resolve it, sort of like you really don't want to get into it, but you're drawn to it and you want to get it resolved? That's the peacemaking opportunity that the Lord grants you. But when you do that, you know you're going to get in trouble because no matter what, they're going to ask you to side with them one way or the other. But you are made as ambassadors of peace to resolve the issues that are in front of you, to resolve the issues that are in your family, to resolve the issues that are around you at work. You're a peacemaker. As a matter of fact, the gospel is called the gospel of peace. You're an emissary of peace. You take peace wherever you are. But what corrupts peace? It's sin. Sin corrupts. We'll always do it. And so you need to be a holy believer. You need to live according to God's word. God's word is so important to you because as you read God's word, you're being cleansed every day. So, yes, your sins are forgiven, but there's a washing that takes place. And it's a daily washing. And the daily washing comes as you meditate in his word, as his word cleanses you and strengthens you. It's amazing what reading God's word and meditating God's word will do for your walk with Jesus. As you know, I teach in a school, at the university, and I teach graduate courses, doctoral courses. And I always say to the students, there's only one book that will make you holy, and it's this one. We read different authors, different ideas, different philosophies, different approaches, different hermeneutics, like they say. I know all that lingo. None of that can ever replace the Word of God. This is what keeps you clean. It's what keeps you clean. So when was the last time you took a shower? Some of you may need to have a long bath. It's a lot of them that need a long bath. Well, anyway, but when sin comes in and you allow sin to fester, what happens is that all of a sudden, there is this breakage inside of you. And you're not able to process the issue at that moment. And the peace of God seems like a distant hope, because you have tried to fix things on your own strength. You have not allowed the Word of God to do its work in your life. So we become disobedient to God's directives in our lives. We become self-indulgent, and we're no longer suited to bring peace. I mean, if you don't have peace yourself, how can you preach to anyone else? In other words, how can you serve God in whatever capacity if you don't keep up with what God is asking of you to do? You know, you should meditate in my word. That was the call of God to Joshua. My word shall not depart from your mouth. Don't you? You should touch your mouth here, right here. That's what the word of God should be. But a veces no es la palabra de Dios que sale de nuestros labios. Sometimes it's not the word of God that comes out of our lips. And ouch. Okay. If you want to be an ambassador of peace, you have to continually be cleansed by the Lord by the reading and meditating of His word. His word cleanses you. Did you know that? His word cleanses you. So by going to the word, you will allow God to work in your life. And you know, I keep telling you, it's not magic. It's not something weird or strange. It is the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life through the word that does its work in your life. I don't know how He does it, but I know He does it. Jesus said that the Spirit blows like the wind. Nobody knows. It's inexplicable. There are no human terms except to know that when I bathe in the Word of God, there's a cleansing that takes place in my life. And sometimes we need a scrub. But let the Lord take care of that. Start with a little bit of sprinkling. Maybe a verse or two. Maybe 5 minutes a day. You know, again, to live for the Lord is not really complicated. You need to do three things. I think I've told you this. You come to Christ, and the first thing you learn is to pray. The second thing you do is to attend church, be part of the body of Christ. The third thing you do is you learn to tithe. Those are three elements that come into your life, and they're the easiest of them all. And when you do that, all of a sudden, God works in your life in ways you never imagined, because now it is no longer your kingdom, you doing things the way you wanted, but you're allowing God's kingdom to rule through your life. And you're accessing God's richness. I can't go into details, but I'm telling you, you and I, when we come into the presence of the Lord, He does outstanding things in your life, inexplicable things. We had issues in the university, and an issue that I could not resolve, and it's no big deal, but it was something that I had to get resolved, solution for it. And so there's a place in the back of my house, I'm finding some chairs, old chairs, splinters. If you sit in a certain place, you get up with a splinter. I've been thinking of replacing them, but anyway, I sat there, and I said, "Now, Lord, I need you to know that I am facing this next week." Actually, it was that week. And I just want to spend time with you and see how you're going to resolve this for me. Now, this is what I want to do, Lord. And I told Him what I wanted to do. And then I took a deep breath, closed my eyes, and I heard the bird singing. 20 minutes went by, half an hour went by. And then I got up and said, "Okay, Lord, you're going to take care of it." And I did not worry about it anymore. until the next 2 days when I got a phone call and it had all been resolved for the glory of God. I didn't do that. God works mysteriously. Watch out. Because he moves. He moves. Watch out in the right sense of the word. Watch him. Give him his due. Take time to be holy, says the old hymn. And there was no hoopas coopas. There was nothing weird. There was no sensation. There was no thrills. No, nothing. Nothing. It's just me sitting there. You know, wah. Because that's all I am. Wah. Cacho de carne. I don't know how to translate that to Spanish. Cacho de carne. Yeah, just sit there like a chunk of beef. With no attributes except availing myself to the presence of his word and my commitment to following him and letting him, not me, take care. So the Lord got the credit for it. I didn't get the credit for it, but I know how it worked. So when we talk about peacemaking, when we talk about the peace of God, we're talking about that. The second thing I want to say, because my time's almost over. Nah, I got plenty of time. The second thing is this, that peacemakers leads others. They lead others to make peace with God. See, this is so important because you and I are not an elite corpse of individuals who have spiritually arrived at an era or a level of perfection, and you look down to the rest of the world. That's not it at all. We're still a body of sinners, cleansed by Jesus Christ and commissioned by the Lord to carry the gospel, being his true disciples, learning from him every single day of our lives. Lord, how should I live today? Lord, what will you teach me today? Lord, help me so that others can find the peace that I have with you. So Jesus speaks really rough about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. And the Pharisees were the embodiment of what we call today, what peacemakers are not. I think that's a better contrast. They were smug, proud, complacent, and determined to have their own ways, and they always defended their rights. Let's see. Do you know anybody like that? Let's see. Smug. Think of smugness. Proud. Complacent. Determined to have their way because it's my way or the highway, baby. I don't know about the baby thing, but. And sometimes we become so obnoxious. Well, I'm telling you, the Pharisees were really rough people, but they were people in positions of authority. They really were. This is why authority is so elusive today, or power is so elusive today. There's only one power, and that's the power that God has. The world has its own character of power, and is destructive, and is self-righteous. As a matter of fact, The Pharisees, they were in a position of authority, but their desire to make peace with Rome, the occupying forces, was null. Or to make friends with the Samaritans. Oh, they're our enemies. Well, that's why peacemakers are about to take down the walls of animosity. And even with Jesus, they didn't like him. They did not like Jesus. They did not like the Jews that followed Jesus because they were breaking the party line. Aha, Pharisees. Whew. So what happened with the Pharisees? Let me tell you what happened. They created strife everywhere they went. How many know people that have the gift of strife? Oh, my lips are sealed. And they cooperated, the Pharisees cooperated only when it was to their own advantage. Just like the Sadducees when they were opposing Jesus. I'm saying these things because there's a certain characteristic, there's a certain set of behaviors for the Christian that we must aspire to acquire and make them our own experience in our daily lives. Not just Sunday morning, but where you live. the time you spend at the job or with the families, where it really counts. Because as a disciple of Christ, as a follower of Christ, you must lead the way in peace. The spirit of peacemaking is so much different from the Pharisees, because it's built on several things. Let's see if you can catch it. Blessed are the, I'll read it to you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You go through the Beatitudes and you find that peacemaking is built on humility. It's built on sorrow over their own sins. Yeah, there it is. Blessed are those who mourn. It is based on gentleness. It is based on hunger for righteousness, mercy, purity of heart. There's a certain body of characteristics that are supposed to be your domain, where you work from. Wow. None of us are perfect in what we're doing, but we're going towards those things where we say, Lord, I need to be a peacemaker, but I need to build it on humility. I need to carry my life a little bit. Dos o tres rayitos más abajo. So, a theologian said one time that the peacemaker is a beggar who has been fed and who is called to help feed others. I love that. Because we were begging once. We had nothing. And the Lord gave us everything. Gave us a full meal. And it was no burnt turkey. And having, you and I having understood God's peace in our hearts, we tried for others to have the same peace. So we bring others to God. So in the process of the disputes and the process of trying to make peace, we're acting as agents of peace, but agents of the gospel of peace. I know you know marriages that are in the brink right now. You know families are going really bad. You need to come in there with peace. You're an ambassador of peace. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And you bring others to God. So in Acts 10:36, it says that the church, the purpose of our church, of the church, is to preach peace through Jesus Christ. Let there be peace. Can you think of an area in your life right now that needs peace? Can you think of a family issue? Can you think of discord? Can you think of some issues that are going on that needs peace? So why don't you, where you are right now, just raise your hands, just both of your hands, and say, Lord, let there be peace through Jesus Christ. Let's do that. Let there be peace through Jesus Christ in that area. It's in your home, with your family, at the job, with the neighbors. Let there be peace through Jesus Christ. So you see, what God calls you is beyond being a diplomat or an ambassador of our statements. You can't do that. It's beyond. It's bringing God into that situation with peace. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Third thing, a peacemaker. First, you make peace with God yourself. Secondly, you lead others to the peace with God. And thirdly, peacemaker helps others make peace with others. The moment you become a Christian, the moment a person becomes a Christian, it comes to Christ, he becomes at peace with God. And then you have the peace of God. And then you yourself become a peacemaker to the world. This is an area that is of much interest to me. As I said, this is one of my favorite of the Beatitudes. They're all wonderful, but this one's important because a peacemaker really builds bridges between men and God. Yes, you're in a room and there are problems. You have the Lord on your side. They don't. You say, look, I want you to know that there is a bridge. There's a connector here. There's a connector. There's a connector between you and God. And also, you need to find ways in which you two can connect with each other. So we build bridges directly to God and between people. They're fighting like cats and dogs sometimes. And you find God's way helping you to show them how they can build this bridge and get along. You've got to get along. But you see, the bridge building has to begin between ourselves and others. You have to be the one to say, I want to have a connection with this brother, this sister, this family member. I want to go out of the way. Jesus said that one of the ways to do that is to self-examine yourself. And what I'm going to say, it's rough for all of us because it's rough for me every time I read it. Sometimes I wish it wasn't there. A couple of scriptures that talk to me about human relations, and it touches each one of us. He says that if you're going to bring a gift to God and a brother has something against you, you're to leave the gift at the altar and be reconciled with that brother before you offer that gift to God. Sometimes we just bypass that completely. But as far as possible, Paul says, as far as it depends on you, on me, we're to be at peace with all men and women. How many people are excluded with the word all? Nobody. So I have found myself often, especially ministerial cycles, ministerial circles, not cycles. Well, they do circle you around, but that's another thing. Yep. How to be at peace with those who have declared war. There are family members that declare war on you. I'm not exaggerating. There are family members that don't talk to each other. And yet, somehow, some way, Paul says, as far as it's possible, as far as it can depend on you, be at peace with all men. The way I see it is this. As long as you don't harbor animosity, you have met that. Because sometimes you can't speak to people. Some people will hang up on you. Some people will not listen to you. Some people see you coming and go the other way. Oh, by the way, they're all Christians. The irony of it all. So we were told by Jesus, you know what he said? Love your enemies. Ay, pero señor, ¿por qué? ¿Por qué? And that commercial says, it's not parque, it's butter. I just dated myself, pretty much so. Ah, it's okay. So even with your enemies, the ones that have sworn to just do away with you, in your heart, you must have a place where if they come, you will receive them without vengeance or animosity. Bill Bridges, see, this is a tough message to talk because it talks about stuff that we deal with every day. But let me just encourage you to say that a bridge, by definition, cannot be one-sided. Okay, and this is something, again, I've wrestled so much. Because if one side doesn't want to work, you don't have a bridge. You have to have both sides. It needs the support of both sides or it will collapse. How many have seen collapses? And they're so agonizing. Because you go all the way to the very edge. All they had to do was just take one step and the bridge would be complete. And they see it and they take three steps back. And everything falls down. There's not much you can do for that. There really is not much you can do for that. Really, you cannot. So what you have to determine in your own heart is that your responsibility is to see that your side of the bridge is solid. We're all going to have to answer for each other. So you say, I am solid. What I offered my brother or my sister was a way in which we could commune and have a relationship that's meaningful and would witness to the kingdom of God, but they refuse it. They have a right to do so. They have free will. I mean, they don't even have to like God. And those people that don't like God, well, God has a place for them. If you don't like me, I'll put you in a place where you'll never see me for eternity. Because see, if I was to take you to heaven, you would see me, and you don't like me. Why should I bring you here? So I'll just send you where you, you know. Yeah. Hello. Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, you have a responsibility to yourself. Then you do everything you can for that other place to be built. But there's so much you can do, and then you can't do anymore. Well, you can weep. You can cry, you can pray, but you have to put it in God's hands to work in that person's life. I venture to tell you that the greatest weapon for that other person to build that side of the bridge is your prayers on their behalf. You pray for them. So we have a responsibility to help that one by praying and say, look, this is what you need to do. And you keep praying, and they won't listen to you, but you talk to your father, who works in secret. He will take care of that. But both sides has to be built on righteousness and truth, or the bridge will not stand. So you as a peacemaker, you must have, find yourself with a righteousness that is of Christ. You must seek your own heart. And then you need to be active in seeing how they can develop a righteousness that also will cause the bridge to be built. Let me quote you something. This is the rough one. This is possibly one of the most difficult texts, I think, in the entire New Testament. Well, no, there are many, but this is one of them. For today, this is yours, difficult. It says, if your brother sins, and Jesus says, go and reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. If he doesn't listen to you, take one or two more with you so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. And if he refuses to listen to them, then tell it to the church. There is that way in which you give up on people, but it's a scriptural way. And this is tough to do, but it's in scripture for some reason. We'll talk about that eventually. It's a difficult thing to do. But I want you to know, when you obey the commands of the Lord, you obey them because you have no option. So you need to bring people to an account. And it's so difficult to do these days. They will walk away. But you must keep in your own heart a desire to bring resolution to the conflicts. Because you and I will never, ever, ever preserve or keep the faith when we don't obey God's commandments. So that's how you do it. Well, I need to kind of wind this thing down, but I just want you to know that this is tough, but I'll say it. The only way to peace is righteousness. This is the way in which the Lord puts it together. And sin, if not dealt, it will destroy peace, and it will prevent peace. And it's not worth you trying to lose your time and your energy except through prayer and intercession. If your right eye, ouch, if your right eye is giving you trouble, then get rid of it. Put it in a special prayer closet and leave it inside the closet. Don't aggravate yourself to the point where your own walk with the Lord becomes agitated and it becomes bitter. Yeah. Tear it down and throw it off from you, Jesus said. Sometimes we just have to give up on certain things and put it in God's hands, which, by the way, he's pretty good at taking care of things. So, anyway, well, let's move on. The last thing I mentioned about peacemaking is a peacemaker endeavors to find a point of agreement. In other words, you're trying to make sure that you try to find a way in which you can give a little bit and take a little bit, and work it so that somehow, some way, God brings a healing that is His healing. Because none of us have all the answers to all the problems. And when there are conflicts, need to understand you are not living in their world. And they're not living in your world. They have their own perspective, and you have your own perspective. So you must allow the Lord to help you find points of agreement. You will never compromise with sin. You don't go along with immorality. You don't go along with ungodliness. You don't go along with pagans. You don't go along with rebellion, because there's no point of agreement there. But there are other things that you can approach people. Like sometimes they have the wrong theology, whatever that means. Well, I was baptized in water by immersion, and you were with little freckles on, and that doesn't count. That's just, it counts. You got to be baptized by immersion, otherwise you don't say, yeah, talk to the thief on the cross. He wasn't even a church member. He didn't pay his tithes. You will be in paradise with me today. That's what Jesus said. What? So sometimes we make too much of our body of theology and our concepts that we wrong standards. Well, women in our church, they don't use any makeup. And yours do. Oh, yeah. Men come to church with their jeans. In our church, they come with suits. So I guess Carlos and me would be the only ones. Carlos and me or Carlos and I? Ah, English, who cares? And then there's whole sets of beliefs that we carry. Like, you know, I'm going to say something that's going to be kind of rough, you know, but sometimes people think that certain habits in your life will destroy your salvation. You know, I've said this, forgive me for repeating myself, but I get to do that because I was another year old this month. And the older I get, the more I repeat myself. Make sure you remind me that I'm repeating myself so that I can remind myself not to do so when I don't. No, listen. I've had people come to my office and have said, pray for me, Pastor, because I have this addiction to cigarette smoking. I smoke. And I've been told that if I smoke, I'm not saved. I say to them, no, you're just as saved as anybody else. And they struggle with that. And they struggle with that. But I have never had anybody come to my office and say to me, Pastor, please pray for me because I have the gift of gossip. I've said this before. I know I have. You know how much gossip destroys the church versus someone smoking a cigarette? So we have this weird set of beliefs and what's right and what's wrong. Listen, you got to find points of agreement, and some of the things that you agree may not have nothing to do with God's word or God's standards. Wrong attitudes. So I conclude by saying that you need to find a point of agreement, and people, God's people are to contend without being contentious. And you need to be able to disagree without being disagreeable. Oh my, that's a gift. And you need to be able to confront without being abusive. And Ephesians 4:15 says it all. The peacemaker speaks the truth in love. And that means something. That means something. To start with love is to start towards peace. So the point of agreement is you must love that person. There must be love. And that's how you move towards getting things resolved in your life. Well, I got a couple of more pages here, but I think I'm about done, because I want you to know that God honors your heart. And when you try to bring peace, the Lord says, you know what? You will be called the sons of God. And throughout eternity, because that is exactly what God's son did. He brought peace to the world. And I'm telling you, many times you will try to bring peace between people and peace in situations. And sometimes you will find yourself being unfruitful and unrewarded. But do not worry about that, because you are a citizen of God's kingdom. That you not only hunger after righteousness and holiness in your own life, but you have a passion to see the virtues of peace and love be spread among those who are close to you. The peacemakers shall be called the sons of God. You know, I endeavor for you to make it one of your, shall we say, attitudes or goals or mission in life, that you would be a peacemaker and not a troublemaker. That when you see the issues, you bring peace. That you should not be a Christian carrying two cans of gasoline, but you should bring a fire hose. Shall we pray? So, Lord, we bow our heads before you in an attitude of surrender and commitment to be peacemakers. We thank you, Lord, that peace overflows our life and we're able to walk and live in this world of turmoil. And yet, Lord, you've put in our hearts your peace. Lord, there's situations in our homes, situations at the job where we work, situations around us, Lord, that need your peace. I pray, Lord, that you will work in our hearts, that we may be peacemakers. Let it start in our hearts, Lord. So, Lord, I ask you to cleanse us, forgive us for the unrighteousness of our lives, for our attitudes. Forgive us, Lord, for thinking the wrong thoughts and for disobeying your word in direct commands to our life and lifestyle. So today we ask you, Lord, to make that right. Purify us with your word, cleanse us with your word, help us to be at peace with you, and then, Lord, help us around us so that we can lead others into that peace that just is, it's just peace like a river. Just overflow us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Someone said that peace is the cessation of war. That when you're at peace, you're not at war. Isn't that wonderful? Where you stop fighting because there's not a fight. Because the Lord took care of the fight and won for you and for me. Shall we stand together? I encourage you to keep reading the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe by the time that we finish it, you read it like 20 times. It doesn't hurt for you to reread and reread and reread and reread. We're still in chapter 5. Next week, we'll talk about what it means to be persecuted. So bring all the persecuted brothers you know and persecute yourself and come to church. And as we go through this, you're going to find out how God expects you to live as a Christian, to avail yourself of the resources of his kingdom and live in victory with the Lord in charge. Wow. Learn of me, Jesus said. My yoke is easy. And if you're carrying too much of a burden, you may be carrying things he should be carrying. As a matter of fact, there are ways in which you can live the Christian life where you can sit in the patio in the afternoon in your home and say, Lord, I got an issue. Take care of it. And he says, I took care of it. And then you go about enjoying life because the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Amen? All right. So this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Receive the gift of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.